the world. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. March for Israel, November 14th, 2023, Tuesday, National Mall, Washington. March for Israel, March to Free Hostages, March Against Anti-Semitism. Everyone welcome. And we welcome Brad Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy to look right now at what is on its way from the arsenal of democracy to Israel and what Israel anticipates its needs in these coming days. Fog of war in Gaza, but the larger conflict involves the Houthis in Yemen, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the IRGC in Syria, and certainly bad actors across the Middle East. Brad, a very good evening to you. Thanks for joining. What's on the way to Israel now, and what can we anticipate they'll need in these coming days? Good evening.
Good evening to you both. Thanks for the opportunity to join you again. You know, in the immediate aftermath of the deplorable Hamas massacre on Israel on October 7th, I predicted that the leading needs of Israel from the United States was going to be precision-guided munitions and increased air defense capacity and munitions. And in the intervening days and weeks, that's exactly what Israel has sought from the U.S. and what the U.S. has provided. More specifically, the United States and the Biden administration expedited the delivery of at least 1,800 joint direct attack munitions and about 1,000 small diameter bombs. And also, just in the last couple of days, there's been reporting that the U.S. Department of State has approved the $320 million sale to Israel of smart, precise, impact, cost-effective guidance kits, known as SPICE kits. And so all three of those are what are known as precision-guided munitions. Those help Israel conduct airstrikes against Hamas targets that are very precise and that also minimize civilian casualties. In addition to that, I mentioned air defense capacity. From the earliest days, the U.S. sent some of our Tamir interceptors. Those are the interceptors that are used by the Iron Dome system to Israel. Those have already been received. And we're also actually sending the two U.S. Army Iron Dome batteries. I was one of the first people to call for this after October 7th. That's now in process. That's going to provide significant additional missile defense capacity, rocket missile defense capacity to Israel once they arrive. There's discussions of leasing that to Israel or maybe them even purchasing them back outright. And then we've also provided 155 millimeter howitzer shells. And so in terms of what we've done, those are kind of some leading examples of what the U.S. has provided. And when I talk to Israelis, they're very pleased with the responsiveness thus far in the Biden administration when it comes to weapons.
Malcolm?
Your assessment of the presence of the two aircraft carriers, the addition of a nuclear sub, other things, do you think that this message has kept back Iran and its agents in Hezbollah, et cetera? They continue to attack American forces, and we've heard that there have been maybe 40 attacks against American forces in recent months. Do you think it's a restraining factor having that presence, that much power there?
It's a good question. We've tracked the changing U.S. military posture in the region closely since October 7th. It's been a real area of focus for us, and you're exactly right. We've repositioned the Ford Carrier Strike Group closer to Israel. We've deployed the Eisenhower Carrier Strike Group into the U.S. Central Command Area of Operations. We moved the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit, which is aboard three ships of the Amphibious Ready Group, closer to Israel. We've deployed air defense system, Patriot systems, terminal high altitude area defense systems, and the list goes on and on. What's the primary goal for the Biden administration? The primary goal is to protect U.S. troops and to send a message to Iran and its terror proxy in Lebanon, Hezbollah, that they should not open a major front against Israel in the north to give Israel the time, the means, and the space to deprive Hamas of the means of murder that we saw horribly demonstrated on October 7th. Has it been successful? Well, we've had actually the number is now 46. We've had 46 attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria since October 17th. How many times have we responded? Twice. So your listeners can do the math. 46 attacks, two responses. I would say if we're being polite, that's eroded deterrence. But I also want to be fair. Have we seen a major war with Hezbollah in Israel's north? No, we have not. We've seen daily firing back and forth with people getting injured and killed. But this has been Israel's been very careful to make clear that there will be consequences while trying to avoid a major conflict with Hezbollah. As formidable as Hamas is, if Hezbollah entered the war in a major way, that would be an order of magnitude different challenge for Israel, and one I'd recommend they try to postpone for a later day.
The F-16 struck in October. The F-15 struck here in November, just in these last hours, into Syria. I go to Yemen. You know this well, Brad. The Houthis have fired cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and drones since October 17th at Israel. And now they're boasting about bringing down a drone, a surveillance drone, a Reaper, over the Red Sea, over the peninsula. It's unclear to me. We have not responded to the Houthis. Is that something we can look forward to, Brad?
I really think we're seeing, to state the obvious, but sometimes it's important to state the obvious, we've seen Tehran activate its full network of terror proxies to try to take cheap shots at American forces and to try to turn what is an effort on Israel's part to focus on Hamas right now, to take the Hamas chess piece off Tehran's chessboard. And Tehran's trying to make that difficult for us to regionalize it. The Biden administration, oh, no, these two strikes we did in Syria, those are unrelated. Iran and its terror proxies clearly this is related. We know the Houthis in Yemen are Iran's terror proxy in Yemen. We know that they are a leading threat to Saudi Arabia. And as I published several days ago, they're a growing threat to Israel and the United States. I published a defense news piece talking about the October 19th strike. Everyone's familiar with the USS Kearney, a U.S. destroyer in the Red Sea that shot down several of those missiles. They may be less aware that Saudi Arabia reportedly actually downed one of these Houthi cruise missiles headed north, probably in the direction of Eilat. And why is that significant? Well, Tehran likes to divide Americans, Israelis, and Arabs. They like to distract and divide so that we don't unify and focus on the real threat to the region, and that is the Islamic Republic of Iran. So here you have the Saudis probably using an American system to down a missile coming from its Houthi proxy in Yemen headed toward Israel. If you start to knit that together into a security architecture where you have U.S. and Israel and our Gulf Cooperation Council partners led by Saudi Arabia integrating air and missile defense systems, sensors and shooters, that's a nightmare for Iran that would make it more difficult for them to hide and undertake aggression against its neighbors, which is what it's been doing since more or less since 1979.
We have a minute, Malcolm.
Yeah, it's very important because those drones and missiles from the Houthis carried out 1.6 ton total payload, which could have done immense damage, and they're targeting the hotels down south. So right now, in your assessment, is the Saudis and Jordan refusing overflights for the Houthis? Are the Iranians getting the message that they're not gaining in the region?
I think the Iranians think everything's going pretty darn well. You know, I think they've undertaken a multi-year campaign to establish a ring of fire around Israel. Hamas has a stated goal of trying to exterminate the state of Israel and kill Jews. And Israel is now bogged down in a war in Gaza and eyeing a major war in the north. And Iran is sitting, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the regime in Tehran, is sitting there unmolested, unscathed. And the only people getting hit back are Palestinians right now. And they don't really care about Palestinians, as we know.
Brad, right now, Hezbollah not launching. That's what it appears. 30 seconds.
Yes, we have not seen the major war in the north. We've seen the daily firing back and forth, mortar, rockets, and missiles, but not the major war. We've seen more than 9,000 rockets coming from Hamas. With a major war with Hezbollah, you would see tens of thousands. Right. And I'm sad to say, but it's important to speak the truth, that would overwhelm Israel's air and missile defense capacity. That's why Americans and Israelis need to be sprinting right now to dramatically increase Israel's air and missile defense capacity. One of the focuses of the supplemental request from the Biden administration.
Brad Bowman, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, March for Israel, Tuesday, November 14th, 2023, the National Mall. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.